Well, the third wave is the next evolution of the internet. The first wave, companies like AOL 30 years ago, got everybody online and kind of created the on-ramps to the internet and got the world connected. When we started AOL in 1985 in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, only 3% of people were online. Now, of course, everybody's online and kind of can't live without it. So that was the first wave, just kind of getting everybody connected. The last 15 years or so has been the second wave, which has been about apps and services. So Google and Facebook, really apps built on smartphones. That's been the epicenter of the second wave. The third wave is where the internet really kind of meets real life, and it really starts changing in pretty fundamental ways, key sectors of our lives, how we stay healthy, how we move around, what we eat, how we learn, a lot of different things, and the process disrupts some big industries: healthcare, education, transportation, energy, food, things like that. But it's going to require a different mindset and a different playbook, both for the entrepreneurs, for the corporate executives, and for government policymakers. So that's why I decided to write the book. You can't go it alone in the third wave. You want to revolutionize healthcare. It's not just about the software. It's not just about the app. You have to partner with doctors and hospitals. The idea of policy is going to be more important. These are regulated sectors for good reason. We want to make sure the drugs we take, or the food we eat, or the driverless cars on our roads are going to be safe. So you've got to engage more with regulators, with legislators in the third wave. And finally, perseverance. Revolutions often happen in evolutionary ways. We saw that in the first wave with companies like AOL. It took us a decade before we finally broke through. And the companies that really want to change the world in the third wave are going to have that long-term view. It's going to be 10-year in the making overnight successes, not the kind of true overnight successes we saw in the second wave, or a company like a Facebook or a Snapchat started in the dorm room and a year or two later was a global phenomenon. That's not going to be the way the third wave plays out. It's one of the chapters of the book I call The Rise of the Rest, something I'm really quite passionate about. In fact, I've spent a good bit of time in the last few years. I've traveled 6,000 miles by bus to 26 American cities, and places like Detroit and Pittsburgh and Phoenix and Albuquerque and Minneapolis and St. Louis and New Orleans and Richmond and all kinds of different cities to learn what's happening there and try to champion the startup communities and the entrepreneurs there. And I think the rest is rising, and the entrepreneurs are having breakout successes that are surprising people. A company like Under Armour now in Baltimore, or ExactTarget in Indianapolis with nearly 2,000 employees. It's starting to happen, but we need to do what we can to create the incentives to drive more capital to entrepreneurs in the middle of the country. Last year, 78% of venture capital went to just three states: California, New York, and Massachusetts. So the other 47 states were fighting over the other 22%. We have to change that. We have to level the playing field so everybody everywhere really has a shot at the American dream. And that also will help address this growing divide we have in our country. It's really kind of two Americas: some places where there's job growth and opportunity, and many other places that do feel left out and left behind. And the reason they feel that is because they kind of have been left out. If we only are investing in the entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley, not the entrepreneurs in Detroit or Philadelphia or some other place, it's not surprising to me that those folks feel left behind.